been encouraged as we've gone throughout our service so far. It's always wonderful to come out and study God's Word. Hopefully we've listened to the hymns that we've been singing and been singing out ourselves and trying to encourage each other as we did so. It's always a blessing to be here. I always enjoy being with brethren. I always enjoy singing songs. Last week, as we went through the lesson, last Sunday morning, went through and talked about having a mind like Christ and brought out some points of how we can be like Christ and being mindful of Him. And one of the points we had made was talking about the wisdom and being wise in our choices. Again, we talked about that a little bit in the class this morning as we go forth. And Paul told the brethren in Philippi to abound in love, to continue to grow more and more in it. But they told him to do it in knowledge, with discernment. And so we want to be wise in our love and wise in our decisions. And as we continue in the Word of God, and of course we go to James, we can see that if we want wisdom, we need to go to God. We need to look to His Word to find wisdom. And so just a lesson this morning we're going to be talking about is going to Matthew chapter 25 and talk about the foolish and the wise in this parable of the 10 virgins. The parable of the 10 virgins, go for it. There's 5 wise and there's 5 foolish. So we'll start off reading this, Matthew chapter 25. We'll start in verse 1 and then just make a few points about this parable for this morning. So Matthew 25 and in verse 1. It says, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil and with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" And so I want to go forward through the lesson this morning and simply bring out a few points that we can bring out in this lesson. And maybe you can think of some others, and I know that we probably could, but these are a few points to bring out as we talk about being wise and being foolish and what we can learn from this parable that Jesus had given. The first thing I want to bring out is that they had knowledge of the coming of the bridegroom. That word had been sent out that they needed to prepare themselves to be ready. So it wasn't something unexpected that was happening. And it wasn't something that just all of a sudden at once just magically happened and they didn't know what was to come. It was a time to be warned and told, and they knew of the coming of the Master. And so here in Matthew 25, we see there in verse 1, it says, they took their lamps and went to meet. So therefore they knew. They knew that there was a feast about to take place. They knew that something was going to happen. And so they all went. And so there's knowledge in simply being wise and making sure we know what is to come. Many get caught up in being fearful and scared of the end of time because they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's at the end of life. They don't know what is after life here on earth. Is there anything after life here on earth? They don't know. And so therefore, fearing because they simply don't know. These people knew. They knew what was coming. They knew that they needed to be prepared. And we see that we're supposed to go out and send the word out. Go out and warn others of what is coming. In Matthew chapter 28, and verse 19, it says, "Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of age." Here, Jesus giving the instruction to go and teach, go and make disciples, go and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
We have other parables that Jesus had given examples of the sower and the seed, right? Someone is supposed to be out there sowing the seed. Someone needs to take the word of God and go plant it in the hearts of the people and the world. As Paul brings out, some are sowers, some are waterers. Someone go out and they've already had the Word of God planted within their hearts. They've heard it preached before. They've heard and been extended the invitation to come and to worship. But maybe they didn't obey at that time and point. So here you come along and you start to reteach them. Start watering that seed that's been planted, who knows, years before. The thing is people have to go. We have to go and teach the Word of God. But not only that, we have to be willing to look for it, right? We have to be willing to seek it out. Jesus told us, knock and the door shall be open. Ask and it shall be answered. Seek, you will find. If we're willing to look for the truth, then you will find it. If you're willing to go and ask for the right questions, then it will be answered to you. So many people don't look, and there's too many that are not willing to go and to teach the Word of God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, as our Lord and Savior sent out the disciples, and He sent out Paul later on as we get to Acts chapter 9. But here Paul preaching and sending the letter to the church in Colossians, here in Colossians 1:23, he says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." Again, not that Paul had traveled the entire world himself. But as the Lord sent out the apostles, they all went different directions, and as they taught others, the disciples went out, and as Paul, before he became Paul and was going by Saul, he made a havoc of the church, which helped the Word of God again spread, because they started to flee from that spot. And they went out to other cities, and they went out and spread the Word of God wherever they went. And the Word of God is spread to all. And again, just as a reminder this morning, we've been dealing with technical difficulties, but today we have so much that we can do to spread the Word of God and to set the warning to others, as we have technology to be able to try to reach out to more than just our neighbors that are right beside our house. We spread the Word of God to so many. But another point to bring out is, we're looking at this, that there is not an excuse for anyone not to find the truth and seek it and ask questions. And we know that there are struggles to some and harder trials to overcome for those of nations elsewhere that are not allowed to own a Bible, or that are prohibited from gathering with large groups to worship God. But understand, the Word of God is out there. That the warning has been sent. And so just as we look at this, knowledge and wisdom is knowing what is coming. Knowing that the Lord will return. Knowing that there is a time that God has set aside to judge us. That there is a heaven and hell for that day of judgment. We need to know these things. And so after we know that, though, there's, what do you do after that? What do you do with that knowledge that you have gained? Once you've learned that there is a day that the Lord shall return. Once you've learned that we will be judged according to our works, and that we'll have to either be on the left side or the right side. Either we'll get to go into heaven or we'll be cast out. That means there's time for preparation. Today is the day that God has blessed us in His long-suffering, in His patience with us, and desire for everyone to come to repentance. And He gives us the opportunity to prepare ourselves. You go back to Matthew chapter 25 and you read through there, go back to what we had already read. Here it says they all grabbed their lamps, right? They trimmed them, they lit them, they went out. And then there's plenty of time to still prepare, because enough time that the bridegroom was delayed. And so they all grew tired and they end up sleeping. There's time to fall asleep. Which means there's still time to prepare, time to make sure that we've got everything ready to go and be prepared for when the day of the Lord shall come. Have we prepared? Because as we get further into the lesson, we're going to see that there was something that happened when the bridegroom came, that the foolish virgins weren't prepared. The foolish men were not prepared. They did not bring enough oil with them. when they had time to sit there and check their lamps, to check to see how much oil they had, to sit there and say, hey, do you guys have enough to share? And if not, we need to go back and grab some before he comes. Instead, they slept. Instead, they took the time that they could have used to prepare themselves to seek out what needed to be done, to seek out how to make sure that they were prepared to go and meet rumors.
They did not do so. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. We'll look at another parable here in Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to make a couple points that go along with this parable and almost all of the points we can make, but it has a few extra points that are not in the one we're talking about with the 10 virgins. But here in Matthew 22, in verse 2, it brings out here, it says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast to his son. So here again, there is a feast. And as there is a feast, there are those who sent out the word of God, sent out the message to the servants. Verse 3 says, and sent the servants, call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. He said, go and tell them. So they were invited to the feast. Now go tell them that the feast is prepared. The day has come. They could have prepared themselves, made themselves ready. But as they were sent out, some did not accept it. They just ignored it. Others beat the messengers that had come. And so jump down to verse 11 with me, if you will. Verse 11, it says, but when the king came and took a guest, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the attendants, bind him, hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I mean, you go from one point in this parable here, people who would not come, people who beat and killed his servants. And then so he says, ignore them, they don't want to come, they're lost. We'll invite those who are willing to come. And so he sends the invite. Here are those who accept this invitation. They come to the feast. They celebrate this wedding. But again, there was a time that they had to prepare. They had to make sure they were ready to come to the feast. They couldn't just show up. There was restrictions on what they were to wear as they came. And so as he came upon one who was not wearing a wedding garment, was not wearing the right apparel, said, how did you get in? And they bound this man and cast him out. See, we've been warned of the day that is coming. And many, if you go around and you take the time and just ask random strangers, say, hey, are you going to heaven? Many will say, yes, I'm going to heaven. Or many, hey, you want to go to heaven? Yes, I want to go to heaven. Hey, do you want to go to hell? No, I don't. But are they willing to prepare themselves to get to hell? Are they willing to do what needs to be done with the time that has been given to them to prepare themselves to go to heaven, to prepare themselves for a home with our Lord? Many want to spend eternity with God, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the brethren in Christ. But yet they don't want to spend one moment with the brethren here in worship. Don't want to take the extra time to come to service, to come to evening service, to come to a gospel meeting, the extra days, all the extra time we have to spend with each other. But yeah, I'll spend eternity with you in heaven. I want to praise God face to face, but we won't take the time to worship Him here. Are we preparing ourselves, preparing our hearts, making our way right? In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, if you open your Bibles with me there. Hebrews chapter 5 and reading there and in verse 9. Here it reads, it says, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Again, we have to prepare ourselves for that day. We have to be willing to obey the Lord. There's things that have to be done in order to inherit that kingdom that God has made. We have to change who we are to be like Christ. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, it says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed to the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
That we have to transform ourselves to the image of God. Transform ourselves to the likeness of Christ. Renewing our minds to His will.
Because if we are continuing in a path of sin, if we continue in the old ways, we continue to be fleshly, then when that day comes, He's going to look at you and say, you can't enter in here. Look at all the sin that you still carry with you. Where's the light that is supposed to be shining in your heart? Because as we look to Romans chapter 6, and we look, when we obey the gospel, when we get baptized, we are to put on Christ and put off the old man. Romans 6 and in verse 3. Romans 6, 3 says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism to death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. No longer walking in that old path of sin, but walking in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in the resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Again, that's our preparation right there. We need to prepare ourselves to put off sin, to cast off lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. To no longer walk in those, but walk in the fruits of righteousness. To walk in love and peace and hope and joy and kindness. Teaching the truth. Being instruments of righteousness and not instruments of unrighteousness. But today is the day in which we need to prepare ourselves. Today is the day in which God has given to you, because God has not promised us tomorrow. Tomorrow might be the day. Tonight might be the night in which the Lord shall return. Because the Lord is coming. The bridegroom is coming. That day is coming. Are we prepared for that day? As we look to Matthew 25, verses 6 through 13, going back to what we read at the beginning, here it brings out, you know not when He's going to come, though. See, they knew that there's a feast set ahead and that the bridegroom, you know, if you've ever been to a wedding, do they ever start on time? Right. Never start on time. So here they had to sit and wait. And as they were waiting, some grew tired. They grew tired and they fell asleep. And that had been time that they could be checking things out and making sure their stuff's ready. Now, if the bridegroom had just shown up and they were already right there, man, they'd have been good to go, right? But guess what? The bridegroom, Christ our Lord, might not come today. You sit here and say, I think I'm ready to meet the Lord today. Was you ready 2 days ago? Friday night? The Lord had come Friday night. Would we have been ready to meet our Lord? And we ask for forgiveness then? Or did we say, well, I'm going to church. I need to pray God for forgiveness. But during the weekend, we can do what we want. We need to make sure we're ready for that day. Turn with me, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved in the fire, will be burned up and dissolved in the earth, and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of person ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Waiting for and hasting the coming of the day of God. Again, it says, what kind of people should we be? Here we are, we read it, and it tells us the Lord will return, but we don't know when.
So how should we wait? We should
eagerly wait. We should rejoice and want the Lord to return so that we can have a home in heaven.
So we can get away from all the temptations that are in this world.
Walking holy, continuing to be that living sacrifice to the Lord. Because He's going to come. But He's going to come during a regular day. So we can turn to Matthew 24.
Just like in the days of Noah, that the flood came when everybody else was just doing the regular work. Some out in the field, some at work, some at home, some nursing their babies, some were out there just doing the laundry.
Again, if the day was set aside and there was a day, here it is, be ready right here, right now. Again, when that happens, when we write that note of saying it's going to be 1 year, here's the day, be ready, and we push off, we push off, we push off till that day. There's no preparation until the day before. I'm worse at that, I'm telling you now. Casey leaves and she goes up and visits her parents. I procrastinate until she gives me that 2.5 hour. I'm about to head home. I got 2.5 hours to get the house home. I could use a lot less stress and just have the house clean the whole time that she's gone. I don't do a whole lot. It's just I don't do the dishes after I eat one day. And so the next day, another set of dishes, another set. Not a lot of stuff, but I could take care of it throughout the week. We need to prepare now because we don't know when the Lord's going to come. He's not going to call us ahead and say, hey, you got 1 week to make your life right. Sometimes we get a wake-up call if sickness hits us and the doctor says you only got a 6 months to a year. Sometimes the doctor's wrong and you only get a week. You only get a day. Sometimes you live a lot longer. That's why we have to always be ready, always ready. Last point I want to make about this parable is the fact that when that day comes, it's none too late. It will be too late to do anything about it once that day is here. We can't wait till that day to make our lives right. Till the Lord comes and you hear the trumpet sound and the angels start to gather. You read there in Matthew 25, verse 12, it says, seek to enter back in, and they're at that gate, let us in. He says, truly I say to you, I do not know you. They weren't allowed in. The opportunity had done past, and they missed it. They missed their opportunity. We see another example with the rich man and Lazarus in Luke. In Luke chapter 16, as he wants a little bit of relief from the torment and the pain that he is bearing here. And you read in verse 24, he said, he called Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish and flame. But he's told, no, there's a barrier between us. It cannot be done. Your torment is your torment. This is your punishment. There's nothing that can be done. And then he says, later on in verse 27, you read there, it says, and he said, then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house where I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into the place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. So here he had opportunity to prepare himself.
And he had opportunity to help prepare his brothers
while he still lived on earth.
But now that the time is too late and is in torment, there's nothing he can do about the torment. And now that he knows how bad things are, there's nothing he can do to help those who are still alive.
When we're done, there won't be another opportunity to come back and say, man, if I had another day, I was going to talk to my neighbor next week. I was going to invite them and say something about the sin that they are in. But time just kept getting away from them. when it's too late, it's too late. We will be judged. There's no second chance after that. We don't read about another chance. This is our second chance right now, right here. The fact that none of us have been struck down when we sinned, when we fell short, because we all have, God has given you another chance to make your life right. So we extend the invitation to any who want to be one of the wise and make sure that they're prepared for the day in which the Lord shall return. You have the opportunity to confess your faith, to repent of your sins, and to be baptized to wash your sins away. So if you're here and you'd like to do that, we encourage you to just come forward, to step out, walk forward, let it be known what you want to do. We'll assist you in being baptized and washing your sins. If you're here in Eden Prayers Congregation, you need the strength to continue to fight on the good fight, just in case that the Lord is going to delay it off for some time. And you need the strength to help you continue to be prepared for that day in which the Lord will return. If there's anything we can do for you, let it be known.